Ladies and gentlemen, theys and thems, weavers of all races and subclasses, welcome to This Dungeon is Occupied. My name is Illidine, and together with Thorn and Bone Daddy as your hosts, we wish to help you as players and game masters, from the aspiring to the veteran, with questions, ideas, and interviews for your next tabletop role-playing game experience. Thorn and I are back at it again. We're going to be doing a product review over Tasha's Cauldron. He wants to do a little bit of a talk at the beginning, and then we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of Tasha's. Take it away, Thorn.
And we've been told that we should do more product reviews, but we haven't really done any yet. And so we figured we'd start with probably our favorite, at least my favorite, of the source books, which is Tasha's. And in the beginning, it kind of goes over a few things of what's in the chapters, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes into the classes, and it has add-on subclasses for the classes that you already know about from the player's handbook and the DM guide. And we're going to go over all of those. Each class really has a few added, you know, features and stuff. We go over those when we do the class reviews, and then it has a few new subclasses. And most of them in Tasha's are really good. I do enjoy them. They're really well thought out and pretty balanced.
Yeah.
And kind of, I guess, updated, you could say. Even though 5e's not that old, it feels updated to me, more for the players nowadays, and definitely much more attractive in a lot of senses. But I mean, that's it. We'll go over those, but we really wanted to dig into what else is in this book and what else is included. And we're going to start with the feats.
Yeah. And just really quick, if you haven't listened to any of our class class episodes, what are you doing? Pause this, go back, listen to those, come back here.
Yeah. And even better, if you're a patron, go back and listen to the extra stuff, because some of the ones we really bag on really bad.
Yeah.
Because they suck.
Especially, I mean, and when you said, you know, oh, it's an updated version for 5e. It is, especially when you like compare it to something like Xanathar's.
Yeah.
These classes are for sure updated and way more balanced. But that's all we're going to say about that right now, because like Thorne said, we talk about each and every one of these subclasses in those class episodes. And I think we only have like two or three classes left to do. So look forward to those. Like Wizard, that one's going to take a bit.
That's going to be a long episode.
It's got to be a two-parter, I think.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Barbarian.
Yeah.
We haven't done Barbarian yet, and I'm much more about the martial classes.
Yeah.
We'll let Bone Daddy talk during the...
we'll just sit back and let him talk during the Wizard one.
It's just easier.
So, page 79 of Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, we have our feats list. I'll take the first one because I know Thorne doesn't like it.
Well, I don't know if we should actually go over every one. There's a lot of them.
There is. But there's a couple that I do want to talk about.
Yeah, we can hit our favorites. Because there's, yeah. I mean, Chef. I mean, yeah, it's good for RP, but I'm not going to take it.
Right. The one that I do like is Artificer Initiate. You've learned some of an artificer's inventiveness. You learn one cantrip of your choice from the artificer spell list, learn one first level spell, and your intelligence is your spellcasting ability for those spells. You can cast the feat's first level spell without a slot, finish a long rest before you can cast it again, and you gain proficiency with artisan tools of your choice and use that type of as a tool as spellcasting focus for any spell that you cast that uses intelligence as its ability. So it's like you get a little artificer flavor if that's your thing. Like you don't want to fully go into an artificer class. You can take that feat and you get a little oomph for that.
Yeah, I mean it's a neat one. You're right. I'm not a huge artificer fan.
Yeah,
I don't like technology in D&D. It's just me.
Yeah.
But I see where its place is because I have played with artificers and. I mean Otter,
yeah.
And
although he was technically an industrialist, but he was an artificer.
He was an artificer, and I don't mean to downplay you, Forrest.
Nah,
I loved Otter.
Yeah, the one we use the most though on this page is Fey Touched, especially this arc.
Yes, Yes, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say Fae Touched is probably the one that comes through the most with all of our players, really. And it's just about exposure to the Feywild's magic has changed you, granting you the following benefits. Increase your intelligence, wisdom, or charisma by one, which to me, that's what feats are for. You know, that's you get that little bonus, plus you get an extra.
Yeah.
So you learn the Misty Step spell, which personally is a great spell. It's a lot of fun. And so you're getting a bonus to your intelligence, wisdom, or charisma, and you're getting Misty Step.
And so, one first level spell of your choice.
And one first level spell of your choice. And you don't have to be a magic user.
Yeah.
That's the part I really like. So, you know, you got a barbarian that now has Misty Step and a spell.
Which is just diabolical, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Oh, let me run away from the barbarian. No. Just Misty Step next to you again.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of different feats here that I really do like.
Yeah.
There's Fighting Initiate, which, I mean, you don't get the bump, but it gives you some cool fighting style options and stuff like that. Shadow Touched.
Yeah.
I do like Shadow Touched.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to do some kind of like Shadowfell campaign. And really quick, something that I like to do in my games is allow for extra feats to be given. Like, they can be boons from gods, if that's a thing. Like, you know, your party does some really crazy heroic thing or does a quest for one of your gods in your game. Instead of just more treasure and, you know, tons and tons of money, you can give them feats as rewards.
I like to see somebody put like it's a found object, but a found object would be like the feather from a fallen angel or something like that. And you, the DM, the story weaver chooses the feat that you gain from it.
Right. And then like what we did with Arc 3 in our home campaign, anyone who had ties to the Feywild, they automatically got the Fae Touched feat. So Blueberry, our fairy that Raven plays, your warlock, Robbie Bone Daddy's rogue that was stuck in the Feywild for 2 years, they all got the Fae Touched feat because it made sense. You're touched by the Fae, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, and the Feywild does play a huge part in Arc 3, so
yeah,
it just made sense.
Yeah.
The one feat that I really, really do like is Skill Expert.
That is an awesome one, yeah.
People really downplay this. They don't understand how much of an advantage it gives you. And, I mean, it increases your one ability score of your choice by one. Okay, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Then it says you gain proficiency of one skill of your choice. Done. Choose one skill in which you have a proficiency. You gain expertise in that skill, which means that your proficiency bonus is doubled for any ability check you make with it. The skill you choose must be one of that isn't already benefiting from a feature such as expertise that doubles your proficiency bonus. So it gives you another expertise.
Yeah. And if you're somebody like a rogue who might have expertise in lockpicking, now you can get that expertise in the other, you know, because normally rogues, they like have to choose, oh, what do I want expertise for? You don't have to choose anymore. Just do both. You get expertise in your lockpicking skill. You can have, if you're a swashbuckler or if you're a bard or something, you can have expertise in another skill check. And that, having your proficiency bonus doubled, like even low level, that's automatically a +4 to that check.
Yeah.
Because proficiency bonuses start at +2.
When you get higher, it goes to a +8. I mean, I mean, come on.
It's dumb.
Yes.
you become stupid overpowered.
Yes.
And then if you happen to have a good ability score with it, anything like above a 14 or something, like you're looking at some +10s, you know, +9, +10s.
Oh, yeah.
On, you know, skill checks. You're not, it's not going to be often that you fail those checks, which is great for RP purposes, which is great for just being the hero spotlight for the encounter or whatever, you know, because it never fails. Like if a rogue is picking a lock on a chest. You know, it's a magical chest. You know, they use their lockpicking skill in the lock, and then they fail the lockpick, and they break their lockpick. And no one else in the party is a rogue. No one else has the lockpicking skill. You know, oh, well, we believed in you, and you failed. Like, that doesn't really feel good, you know?
Nope.
So having this, it's perfect.
It's really hard to fail when you have it, when you're getting plus tens on your add-on proficiency and stuff. So,
and then I forget the name of it, but the one that you basically, whenever you roll a 9 or below, it becomes a 10.
There's a couple different feats that do that.
Yeah, if you have that paired with this, you're never failing ever.
Nope. Never.
So that's that. I mean, there's some cool ones in there, you know. There's slasher, telekinetic, there's telepath.
Telekinetic and telepath, I think, are pretty cool.
Yeah, they are. So, but that's that. And yep. The next part, page 83, is group patrons, which I thought was really cool.
I thought it was a really cool add-on. I think a lot of people do this anyway.
True.
And I think the fact that they set rules to it.
Right. They made it official.
They made it official. They made it canon.
Yeah.
So that right there, I think, helps out a lot when your group can have a patron, somebody that they basically work for.
Yeah.
And can send you on the different adventures. It basically is one big quest giver.
Yeah. And the art on this thing is cool as shit. It's a group of wizards pledging themselves to their patron, Tasha the Witch Queen. So if you want to know what Tasha looks like and you don't feel like Googling it, and you happen to have Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, page 82, it's right there.
Yep. God love her.
Yeah.
And let me just say, the artwork in this book is amazing.
It really is.
I love it.
They did a lot of work on this book.
And her little blurbs.
Oh, they're the best.
Are great. They're so funny.
Yeah. And we might do an episode where we go through each patron, because there's, let's face it, like, there's 2 pages per, no, 2.5 pages per patron.
Yeah.
So we're not going to go through all that. We don't have the time for that.
Yeah.
But just the little blurbs, like for Academy, is for all you novice wizards thinking about magic training. Seriously consider apprenticing. I know liches who are still paying off their academy loans. Tasha.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that hits a little too close to home. I know doctors that are paying their student loans. Like, oof, ouch.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, you know, there's really cool things. They come up with the type of patron, you know, like, just one of the types of academy is a boarding school or a arcane enclave. They come up with the perks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different perks for being a group patron. There's contracts.
And I play in a campaign that uses a patron, and it's the perks are handy.
Hell yeah.
They're handy.
Yeah. And then, you know, you have ancient beings, you have aristocrats.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good episode idea, is just to go through all the patrons you can have.
Yeah.
Because this
Criminal Syndicate, that one's fun.
Yeah.
And the artwork for that one is so silly. Have you seen it?
No, I didn't.
It's a beholder. He's wearing a beholder beanie.
Okay, yeah.
That's... Or a beholder skull cap, I guess is what you would call it. But yeah, no, it's fun. But
and the next chapter is magical miscellany. It's on page 105.
That tells you how many patrons there were. Jeez.
Oh, sorry. How many?
I was saying that tells you how many, because there was 10, 11, 12 pages worth of patrons.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a solid stock. And I know magical miscellany, it's basically the spells, extra spells that they come up with for Tasha's, and we never really dive deep into the spell lists.
Yeah.
Because they're there and it's just going rote for rote. But
and if you guys do want us to go through it, we will.
Yeah, just let us know.
You have to email us, or you have to comment and let us know that you want us to. But one thing that's cool about the magical miscellany is that they bring back some of the older spells.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Green Flame Blade is one of my favorite.
Oh, yeah, that's an old one.
Yeah.
That's an old one.
Yeah, and so they, I mean, they have cantrips. They have all the way up to 9th level spells, you know, but it's updated versions of some of the older spells. Some of the older additions, like Green Flame Blade, was, I think, 3.5 and 4E.
I think you're right.
They update it and, you know, balance it out for 5E. So you don't have to do that work anymore.
I love the little blurb they have for Tasha, though. It says, well, darn. Whatever could have happened to the spells Mordenkainen's Bountiful Backpatting, Hayward's Hot Air, and all the rest? I'm sure I submitted the spells they insisted I included herein. Seems like they got lost in the shuffle. Shame. It's just sass. Love it.
It is. Well, I mean, it is.
It's Tasha. Yeah. The Witch Queen.
Yeah. I love the artwork, though. Like, every page, there's artwork. Oh, man.
Yes.
And then,
Tasha looking into the mirror.
Yeah. The Summon Celestial artwork is kick ass.
I like the Intellect Fortress. I thought that was pretty cool.
That one's a cool one. The nice thing that I like about this is that I'm not sure it happens in the PHB, the Player's Handbook, but the spells that summon something, instead of having to go to an index to look for the stat block, it's right next to it. You look at the spell, there's a stat block. Yeah,
exactly.
Summon Construct, there's a stat block. Elemental, there's a stat block. It's a lot more concise, a little bit more organized.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do any Googling or anything. Like, oh, I summon a Fae Spirit. Well, what does that do? Fuck if I know. No, it's right there. You have a Fae.
And what about the Farmer Sorcerer hurling magic missiles that look like chickens? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so going to do something like that now. I am definitely. Yeah, that's just, it happens. And there's actually a little section that talks about personalizing the spells.
Yes.
Which I think is cool because I don't think enough people think that they can personalize their spell. They don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
For
personalizing spells. When I first learned magic from Baba Yaga, I couldn't help but add spectral chicken legs to all of my spells. She said she wasn't a fan, but I caught her grinning a few times. So, of course, I still add those legs. What use is magic if you can't harness it to amuse your mom?
So right there you learn that Tasha is the daughter of Baba Yaga.
Yeah, like the fact that you get lore
in
this book as well. Like, yeah, you're getting D&D stuff, you're getting canon spells and patrons and things, but like you're getting a bunch of Tasha lore that you would have had to read like Dragonlance Saga or Forbidden Realms to get this lore.
And some of it might not even be in it.
That's true.
I mean, they come up with a lot of original stuff in this book, and it's to me, it's refreshing because they really didn't hold back.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because it's fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they let their knicker show a little bit. It's just fun.
And going into the personalizing spells, there are magic themes that I really do want to talk a little bit about. It's a D10. You can roll it if you want, or you could just choose. But you have things like book pages, origami, quills, and ink, all accompanied by rustling sounds of library scents. You have transparent weapons, armor, miniature war machines, and phantom soldiers, or tiny whimsical or fearsome beings from the spellcaster's inescapable reoccurring dreams. Having that's super cool to have that flair. You know, because we've done it in games before. Like, how does your spell manifest? Well, now you have a little bit of help to have those themes
exactly
in there.
And it's like I said, most people didn't even know they could do that.
Yeah.
But when it's a game that comes purely from your imagination, of course you can do that.
Right. And we talk about it a lot in a couple of episodes to make combat better. And if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to the combat episode. But to make combat better, having those descriptors, even if it's just like, I swing my sword. No, you don't. You take your sword and you hold it like a baseball bat and you're cutting across the orc's neck and, you know, the head flies off or something. If you describe what you're doing instead of just, I swing, I hit, I swing, I hit.
Yeah.
Oh, he missed. Like, it's way less boring. You get a little bit more engaged in the combat. It feels more like RP. And then you add on to that RP, you know, talking to the other players. as things go, because I mean it's a movie trope, and we I'm not going to talk too much about this, but it whenever somebody's fighting and like Legolas and Gimli, they're fighting the entire time, but they're also yelling banter at each other the whole time, and you know that still only counts as one. Like that is the stuff that makes combat fun. So magic themes is the stuff that makes magic fun.
Yeah, okay, and I always let the little banter happen because it's just funner.
Yeah. Now,
the next thing is the magic items.
Magic items and magic tattoos.
Yes.
Are my absolute favorite sections.
Did you catch the blurb on this one?
Read it.
Who doesn't love magic items? The desire for them is one of the few things Mordenkainen and I have in common. And magic tattoos, they're especially fun. I think tattoos are the reason robes are so popular with the wizards. Robes cover the ankle and lower back tattoos so many of us got as apprentices. Don't even ask.
Somebody got a tramp stamp. Now I have a vision of Tasha with a tramp stamp. And
I do too.
I don't know if that's cursed or golden.
It's sexy either way. So.
Yeah.
The magic tattoos are amazing.
Yeah. And they list everything out. You know, they've got the magic item, and it's by rarity, by item, and then by attunement, which is cool. You know, Illuminator's tattoo, Masquerade tattoo, prosthetic limb.
They really go all out in the magic items in this book. The magic items are amazing. Some of them are great. Some of them are terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's just fun.
And it gets the creative juices flowing for sure, because like the art for this, an orc artist creates a tattoo on his elf friend, and it's an orc with like, I don't know, it's like a wand fork.
No, chisel? it's an old fashioned tattoo yeah. needle. That's the way. Right. That's the kind they use for like the tribal for like the Islander Pacific Islander tattoos.
Yeah,
that's the kind of thing they use.
He's got like dragon scale tattoos on himself, which is awesome. You know, big blocky tribal tattoos, and then you can see like on the elf friend. It's almost like that white UV tattoo ink.
Yeah, silver.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you've got blood on his napkin. You can, I mean, at least in my game, I have a tattoo shop in my game where you go and there's a tattoo artist and he goes through the whole thing and there's, you know, an RP sequence when you buy a tattoo. So it's a lot of fun to add to your game. And if you don't want to go through the whole thing, you could just be like, oh yeah, you get a tattoo and you can just like fade to black for that. I think it's way more fun to RP the experience. And just as an extra, if one of my players is getting a legendary tattoo, it's going to be a magical ordeal. There's going to be a little bit more pain involved. There's going to be, you know, even a skill check challenge to see how good the tattoo comes out and things like that. And it's not like I'm going to fuck my players or anything for this anyway. There's other ways I can fuck with my players. But sometimes when the players buy a magic item or they get a magical tattoo or they have a blacksmith create a epic armor set for their player out of, you know, dragon scale.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When that's happening, I did a skill check challenge and made kind of a small like side quest scene for Thorin for that. And you know, he went through a exercise ordeal with the blacksmith. He had to work on the weapon and armor himself, things like that. That it gives the player a little bit more immersion. And it's not like, oh yeah, I just have a magic item. It does this. Like, you have a little bit more connection to it.
Yeah, it was the creation of it. I thought it was really cool. It was a really unique idea, way to do it. And I enjoyed it immensely. It was fun.
It was. And you could do the same thing with tattoos, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Talk about the art, you know, especially if you have an artistic friend. If they want to draw the tattoo, like, that's cool shit. Just a thought. We'll have to do an episode on items.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's a lot. And I mean, just looking at like Baba Yaga's Mortar and Pestle.
Oh, I know. I was going to say that the artwork on that is amazing.
It is. But it's also a page and a half long.
Because it's a terrifying item.
It's a terrifying item. But you know what's cool is these random properties that certain items have now. I don't know if that was a, I can't remember it being a thing in canon anyway, to have two minor beneficial properties, one major beneficial property, and a minor detrimental property.
No, I think it's definitely come out in Tasha's. I don't think it's ever been anything else.
Okay, yeah. So these random property things, you know, it's all it says is this artifact has the following random properties, which you can determine by rolling on the table in the artifacts section of the Dungeon Master's Guide. So it's mainly for artifacts. So it is in the DMG, which is cool. But you give it, you can kind of give the item minor beneficial, major beneficial properties, and detrimental properties. So it gives a little bit, it's more than just, oh, this item's like really good and it's cursed. Like, meh, you know, like I love a good cursed item, but having this extra stuff on it is really cool.
Yeah.
But these,
and there's the artwork's
so
great.
Good.
And there's a lot of tattoos. There's a lot of tattoos. There's a lot of magic items. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to go through them all. We just don't have time for that.
No, I mean, it would literally have to be episodes of talking about stuff, which we could do. That's it is extra content and something that maybe you guys would like. You know, talking about the Demonomicon of Igwiv. Like, you have Tasha's Demonomicon in the book. Like, okay, cool. Got it. Elemental Essence Shards, you know, the Fulminating Treaties. Like this, there is so much stuff. They have a Taroka deck in here.
I love the Teeth of Dal Navar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the art there, too, is just... Yeah. Man, this is just super cool. And Jesus,
that
D20 chart for the Teeth of, of Dalvernar.
It's like, insane. Whoa. It's a page and a half long.
Yeah. So that's enough of magic items, because we're gonna continue on. This is cool. First of all,
I thought so.
The artwork,
four.
Yeah.
Oh
the
yeah.
The artwork is cool as shit. They are playing a game of Wizard's Chess. It looks like,
and it's Tasha and Mordekainen.
Yeah, and you know Tasha prepares to win another game of Wizardly Chess against her rival Mordekainen. Like, and the pieces are like fallen dead on the board.
I mean, it's like Harry Potter. You know, wizard chest. It's literally
right.
Like Harry Potter wizard chest. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. I mean, whoever, I don't know who the artist is. I will have to look in the index to see who the artist was, but damn, everything is good. Solid work.
Yes.
Watsy. But chapter four is just for us.
Yes. It's just for the story weavers.
There is, and I love this part that they actually put a session zero
yes
info into it. That is, I mean, we've talked about it hundreds of times, but that is the most important thing of your game is a session zero. And the great thing about it is they kick it off right off the bat with Tasha's little blurb: establish boundaries, and if anyone crosses them, speak up. If they don't listen, there's always cloud kill. So don't cloud kill your people, but
yeah, they might deserve it.
They might deserve it. I don't know. But we talk about it so often, coming up with lines and veils for your table and for, you know, in-game and for out-of-game. Set your boundaries. Like, this is supposed to be a fun game. That's the only reason why we're doing this. That's the only reason why we play, is to have fun. And everything else comes second. Have to have fun first.
It literally has a section on social contracts.
Yeah.
Which is something that we do. It has hard and soft limits. I mean, it's basically our session zero podcast. I mean,
yeah,
honestly, and it's really refreshing to see it put down in the rules that you should do this.
Yeah, there's a section on house rules. You know, house rules include optional rules such as those presented in chapter 9 of the DMG, and rules you create. If you plan to use any house rules, session zero is a good time to discuss those rules. So listen, if you're a rules lawyer, it's in the book.
Yep.
There are house rules that are allowed. We can make whatever we want. I am the god of this game. Shut up.
Yep.
That's that what
that
the ticket.
Is. And he says all that, and I say, because I said so.
Exactly. we could even do an updated session zero just to talk about what's in this as
well. Oh, yeah. For
sure. You know, because we do need to go back and update some things. But after that, there's an extra fun stuff that we've used in Forrest's campaign.
Yes.
And that is sidekicks.
Which I think is awesome.
Yeah, I think you love sidekicks the most.
Yeah, I do. I like having the extra person.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea that, because I grew up playing a lot of one-on-one sessions.
Right.
In the beginning. So it would have been nice to have been able to have a sidekick, because otherwise you're just fighting by yourself all the time.
That was when you'd like chiseled your stat block, right?
Yeah, exactly. Big old slab of rock. Fuck off. And the thing is they have stats. They have a way to do it. The way they do it in Tasha's is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's very detailed.
Instead of, you know, making a whole other character, you can have an expert. You can have, what's the other ones? Psychic classes.
There's spellcaster.
Warrior.
Yeah. And so it's kind of a player, but you're not making a player character for your sidekick. But they do have like, oh, this is a first level feature, this is a second level feature.
Right. You know, and we can get into these guys more in depth in an episode of their own too.
Right. And Warrior is the other
great
one.
Yeah, Warrior. Sidekicks are great. I love them. They're a lot of fun. It helps.
Yeah.
And you can make up that backstory too, so it can help with RP also.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do, but you can have full on conversation with yourself. I've done it.
Many times. I mean, story weavers tend to do that themselves, but...
No, that's usually cursing the players under their breaths.
Okay, well, that's fair. But, yeah, I think, honestly, yeah, that's something I should write down. We definitely need to have an episode just on sidekicks, because...
I think so.
There's a lot. 6.5 pages of sidekicks. That's definitely an episode.
And everything in there is relevant.
Yes.
So,
and that's one thing that I do like to say is that there is quote unquote extra stuff in this book, but everything is relevant to the book.
Oh, and they packed a lot in this book.
Yeah, there's no extra fluff. There's not like, because you know I don't like bashing I do like bashing Xanathar's a little bit, but with Xanathar's, you know, there was like, oh, that's cool, I'll never use that. Oh, that's cool, I'll never use that. This, like, everything in here has been cool. I haven't had any real complaints, I don't think.
I really don't have any complaints about Tasha's. The things I've read, because it's very hard pressed for me to read these source books cover to cover.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I'm used to reading the old source books where you're not going to use half the stuff because it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rules lawyer heavy. And I just don't, I'm much more free flowing.
Yeah.
And Tasha's is like, here, use this if you want. Here, use this if you want. These are all good ideas, and they are all good ideas.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to use any of them. You can use half of them. You can use all of them.
Mm-hmm. And just like we talked about earlier, you don't have to use all of them in the same arc, in the same campaign. You can pick and choose the ones that you want to use. But they're so organized and concise. You know, even the actual mechanics doesn't bore me. Like it,
yeah.
Reading some of the other mechanic books, you know, like I guess I could read all of this so that I know what it does, but then you end up forgetting about it, and then you know when you want to use that idea, like, oh yeah, there's a mechanic. Let me Google that really quick. Like, this is fun to read, and even just reading, like, the next section is parlaying with monsters. Reading the monster research sections and seeing all the D4s of like, oh, here's dragons with the desired offering, gold gems, anything from a draconic rival's hoard, an antique passed down at least 3 generations, a flattering artistic depiction of the dragon. Those at least get the creative juices flowing, for one. Like,
yeah.
It gives you an idea. You're like, oh, wow, I can actually... You mean a dragon doesn't just want to eat me? Like, I can have an artist do something?
Yeah, it adds another... dimension
right
to the RP in the game, because otherwise it's just, you know, dungeon crawl. You see a monster, you kill it. You see a monster, you kill it.
Yeah,
you know, you see a monster, it kills you.
And that's especially, you know, it talked about in the Tasha's little blurb for parlaying with monsters. It's like, why fight if a lively chat is possible? If things get out of hand, just show yourself out with a dimension door. So
And that gives Raven props. She's always trying to be friends with everything.
Everything, including ancient red dragons.
Exactly. And half the time, more than half the time, it succeeds for some reason.
And that's purely because you and I know very well, like, the dungeon crawly, like, let's kill the thing, that gets boring after a while. There are times where it is absolutely needed that, you know, if, hey, I just want to bonk something, great, go bonk the thing. But having some RP instead to get around the thing, I think it's way more fun and it's way more immersive.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially since, you know, we've talked about it before, you know, 5e combat, it's a number crunchy thing unless you do RP. So if you just get through that with RP and talk to the ancient dragon and, you know, somehow magically roll a d20 and roll that 20 to charisma check the shit out of the dragon and be like, hey, can I have that god killing weapon? Oh yeah, sure, yeah, that's a great idea. Here you go. Like, what?
and it lists every different kind of monster, so it gives you a little more thing than just rar.
Right. And that's, you know, just reading the titles, aberrations, beasts, celestials, contracts, dragons, elementals, fae, fiends, giants, humanoids, monstrosities, oozes, plants, and undead. Like,
take a breath.
Yeah. Well, there's so much there.
It's nice. And it's all in tables, which makes it really easy to access.
Yeah.
And doesn't tax you too much.
Right. And that at least, like, opens the door. Like, oh, like, I didn't think about aberrations, you know, having a brain and talking. Like, you
know. Well, and the thing is it plays more towards inclusivity.
Right.
Like, not all goblins are bad.
Well.
Plain and simple.
No, I'm just kidding. That's an inside joke from Arc 1.
Yes, it is.
But, and if you want an example of not all goblins, not all goblins are bad. Brennan Lee Mulligan in Dimension 20 plays an amazing goblin player character in the Fae campaign. I forget what it's called because I don't have Drop 20 yet, but I'll get it, or Drop TV.
Eventually.
Eventually. You know, it's one of those things that's on the list. So next, after monsters, yeah, go for it.
Environmental hazards. And basically what this does is it gives you a table to roll on where you could have... you know, if something happens and there's, you want to put a blessed radiance, and it gives you different things that it could do, different effects. I mean, I'm not going to go through all of them. Far realm effects. No.
Yeah.
There's just so many, and it gives you more ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing I think about this part of it, is giving you ideas of where to go and what to do in your campaign instead of just the normal old humdrum.
Yeah. A haunted table.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Infested table.
Yep, which is nice. And I mean, I had thought about infested stuff way before, and this just gives you an easy way to access it.
Yeah, and how often have we done mirror zones?
Oh, yeah, that's like one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, and now there's a D100 effect chart.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to use it.
Oh, yeah.
psychic resonance. Yeah.
Good God, man.
There's so many. We're talking pages upon pages.
Yeah, magical phenomena. Like, this is another episode in itself.
That's it. That's huge.
Magic mushrooms.
Mimic colonies.
Hey, I use that one.
Yep. And a juvenile mimic.
Primal fruit effects.
And it also goes through the natural hazards of things. And there's a bunch of them. Blizzards, lightning, lava bombs.
Yeah. Which, and that's, are a thing. That's something that we've talked about, is just adding those extra things, because that makes your world real.
Yes.
Like, you know, just simply falling into water. Like, you're walking across a rope bridge and, you know, whatever, the bridge breaks and you have to make a DC 15 athletic check to hit the surface head or feet first, you know? Like, having something like that happen in your game, it's more immersive. You're not just playing a video game, you know? You're exploring. I mean, yeah, like you said, lava bomb, pyroclastic flow, which is an incendiary cloud. I just...
yeah.
St. Elmo's fire hurts me a little, because I keep thinking of Sesame Street, and I have this version of Elmo in like a saintly costume. It's terrible.
on fire.
On fire. So it's whatever. Swamp gas, you know? I mean, why not?
Different things, man. And just adds another dimension to your game. Plain and simple.
And the
I love how she goes into a section on puzzles.
Yeah, I was going to say the most hated in D&D by far is puzzles. Yep. Why create a solvable puzzle? Just pose an enigmatic question without an answer and watch your trespassers squirm. That's Tasha being a story weaver if I've ever seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's like, oh, don't give them an answer. Just have them squirm for a while.
Yep.
You come across a door. What's on the door? Is there a doorknob? There's a doorknob. Is there anything around the door? No, just the door. Never.
And watch how long it takes them to actually touch the doorknob.
Yeah. Never have I ever had somebody except Thorn just ask, is the door unlocked? I don't know. Do you check it? I check the door. The door's unlocked. Like, it took 35 minutes to try the damn door.
Yep.
And it was so funny when Thorn was like, wait. Because we just kept going on it.
Yeah, everybody kept coming up with different things, tried different things. Nothing was working. I'm just like, you know what? Let's just try the door.
Yeah, that was
fun. It gives you some examples of different puzzles, features, elements you can use. And it actually breaks it down really well.
Yeah.
Creature paintings, which I think is just awesome.
That is a cool thing. I like the art.
It's a neat puzzle.
It's an art of art, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Funny. Oh.
Yeah. So we probably could do another episode on puzzles.
Yeah, easily.
This one has, it only has a few puzzles, but it's still a lot.
Well, no, there's a lot. There's a lot of pages that have puzzle features. It gives it gives examples of different puzzles and how you can use them.
Right, and the solutions. Each puzzle is like a page long.
Yeah.
So they have a lot.
yes, they do.
It is super cool. And I think puzzles is the last section, right?
I think so, too.
Yeah, because the last part is the handouts. If you buy the physical copy, you have those that you can... I would not suggest just ripping them out, but
you can copy them, or if you got the PDF, you can print them.
Yeah, but the cool thing that Watsi did was that on the side of the handouts, permission is granted to photocopy this page for personal use.
Yep.
So there you go. You have your permission to use these.
And here's just an aside. I'm hearing from 1D&D, the new version they're coming out with in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
They are not going to let people come up with their own content.
Really?
They're not going to let homebrews.
Interesting.
Not like, and sell them.
Oh, yeah.
People sell homebrew. They're not going to let people sell homebrew based on 1D&D.
Interesting.
I thought so, which is more packed towards like the past, way back.
Yeah.
So that's Tasha's.
That's Tasha's. And
what we tried to keep short, which didn't end up short.
Well, it was shorter than what it would be if we went like all the way through it.
True. So... Final thought, what is your rating on Tasha's?
I'm going to say an 8.5 out of 10. And purely because it is well organized, it's very concise, which I think is my complaint. It's like a pro/con because they're so concise and they simplify all the ideas that for some people who have a very analytical mind, it doesn't give quite enough, but if you just use a little bit of your creativity, you can expand on everything. And you know, to Watsi's credit and to fairness, if they expanded everything in this book, it would have been like 500 pages. It would have been a tome. So you can't have everything.
I'm gonna give it a 9 out of 10 for the creativity of it. I mean, they really let loose in the inclusivity of the social contracts and everything in a format that people are now going to understand better.
Mm-hmm.
Cause if you get some of the older players and they're talking social contract, what's that? I mean, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's put down now, I think that helps a lot. I always think there's room for improvement. So, honestly, it's a solid 9 for me. Cause man, some of the stuff they come up with, I mean, a lot of the stuff we were already doing, but they expanded on it so nicely.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, we were already doing it, but now it's it's official, and there's no more argument about
things. There's so many nice tables.
There really
is. The tables are great.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean.
That's that.
I like it. It's good shit, WotC.
Definitely applaud that for sure.
Yeah.
I'd like to get into maybe the Feywild book sometime soon.
I think that'd be
fun.
Yeah. And that one's really thick, honestly.
Yeah, I know.
That one might be a two-parter.
Fizzbands would be kind of cool, too.
Yeah. That's actually one I don't have, looking at my...
Yeah, I don't have it either, so...
I'll have to buy that.
Yep.
But that's it, guys. If you liked this episode, either part, I know we talk about the Vile Darkness a little bit with Bone Daddy. If you want us to go more in-depth on anything, let us know. This Dungeon is Occupied podcast at gmail.com. Look forward to some fun episodes with a Twitch streamer, Citrusine. We're going to do a player character creation, an interview, and a one-shot with her. We're going to do a Instagram Live with How to Be a Better DM coming out here pretty soon. So keep an eye out for those things. We are trying to get some more interviews going, some extra content. We're going to be doing some more classes in the coming weeks. So keep listening, keep sharing. And if you know, the usual stuff, if you like Patreon and whatnot, want some extra content, we have our Patreon page. Do all the things, like the page and review and blah-de-blah. That's enough of my soapbox. Any final thoughts, Lauren? Or final messages?
No, I think we're good. Just if you think of any ideas, we're trying to create more content, so we're trying to expand a little bit on the stuff we talk about.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing some reviews and we're doing the Steal Everything. Now let us know if you like it. If you do, we'll keep going. If you don't, we'll stop. Plain and simple.
Yeah. If we get enough people if it's only one person that's like, nah, don't do it. Like, we're probably still going to do it.
Yeah.
But if we get enough people that are like, it's just not the same content, then cool. But if you like it or if you want something different, we have to know. I mean, yes, there's three of us that are on the podcast and two that are kind of behind the scenes doing art and marketing and stuff that help us with ideas. But we're still only five people. There's billions of ideas to come up with to create content for you guys. So we do need help. We do want to know what is more important to you guys. And without further ado, remember to check your dungeons, because this dungeon is occupied. What's up, Weavers of the Realm? As always, thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't already, click that like button and subscribe or follow us on your chosen platforms. It goes a long way to help us grow. And if you liked the intro music that we just used, it was made with the help of The Hobby Hub on YouTube and Saturn Imaging Production Company. Also, if you want exclusive content like NPC of the Week, Discord access, and behind the scenes, join our Patreon at patreon.com/thisdungeonisoccupiedpodcast. And of course, the link to our merch store, social medias, and all the other podcast platforms are available on our link tree in the show notes. Good luck in your games, steal everything, and have fun.